Hi, welcome everybody. Thank you for being here for our lightning talk sessions. So I've heard from a couple folks who are here to present. If I have not yet heard from you, please come and find me. I'll be over there, just so I know whether or not you're here. I know a couple folks have dropped out already. So what I'm gonna be doing when everybody starts is I'm gonna put on a 5-minute timer. You'll hear a small sound when nothing too jarring, I promise. When it's up for the speakers, I will give you a 1-minute notice. Again, I'll be over there, so like watch for me waving in your periphery. And with that, we're gonna invite Ariel up to go first. A clap, clap, clap. Yes, there we go, thank you.
thank you. Hello, mic test.
Hello everyone. So today I'll be sharing some quick lightning talk with you about our experience during our fieldwork in Carigara, Leyte. It was last June to July, we have a fieldwork which is a required course for us where we outreach or go to or partner with municipalities to help them in creating their comprehensive land use plan. To give you a little bit background, Carigara is located in Leyte, in province of Leyte. It is one of the most, oldest municipality in the Philippines. It is the first municipality established by Spain during the recolonization in our history. So before OSM tools, we face some common challenges when we arrive in the municipality. First, they have this incomplete or outdated local maps. Secondly, they have this poor internet connectivity, especially in remote areas or barangays or villages where we find ourselves climbing trees to get some internet access or going to mountains or areas that has a higher elevation to get some internet. And then they have also currently facing limited access to reliable geospatial data especially during emergency and other stuff. And also we find that there is a low community involvement in data gathering. So here how we address those issues. First, we do some mapping local. We use OSMAN to map those local infrastructure, like for example their facilities. Aside from that, those sari-sari stores, schools, barangay halls, and others and other local infrastructures. Next, we use offline data collection via OSMAN since many areas in Carigara have limited access to internet. Next would be we trained youth volunteers, barangay officials, and even teachers on how to edit OSM and use OSMAN to create this kind of in order for us to fill those gaps in their comprehensive land use plan. So with this, we were able to update maps by helping them. And a lot of infrastructure they have is now visible in the open maps. And at the same time, the platform provide us a cost-effective implementation, and most especially, it empowers the citizens. So to wrap this up, using OSM and OSM in Carigara help us move from guesswork to data-driven decision-making. It made our local governance smarter, faster, and more inclusive. So that could be all. Thank you.
Very good on timing. Thank you so much. So while we switch over to our next speaker, do we maybe have any questions? Yeah. All right. It worked. Okay. Good. All right. So we've got Vic up now. Yannick, you're coming up next. If you want to, please make sure that you're ready. So when you're speaking, we kind of need both microphones in use. I know it's annoying. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning. I'm here because the organizers forced me to do this lightning talk. So okay, fine, let's do this. So good morning, I'm Vic from the map operations team of Grab. How many of you have their Grab apps on their phone? Very good. Okay, so developer, actually one of the sponsors. So for the day, I'll be talking about our indoor maps. So how many of you landed in NAIA? You know, International Airport? Okay, na international. In Pasay. Okay, very good. So today I'll be sharing some cool features from the Grab app. So aside from the pickup points and navigation and food deliveries, we also have a feature called the indoor map. So why did we create the indoor maps? First of all, indoor maps was created for our partner delivery riders because a lot of our food orders are coming from big malls here in Metro Manila. So we wanted them to have an indoor map wherein they can easily locate the location of the merchants in malls. No? And aside from that, aside from the driving for our drivers, we also wanted to improve the experience of our customers by also implementing some features like adding in restrooms, washrooms, prayer rooms for our Muslim country markets like Indonesia and Malaysia, and also like clinics and information services. So for now, how do we access these indoor maps on the Grab app? No? So if you are currently inside the building where there's an indoor map, there will be like a pop-up here wherein you can be easily, when you click this one, you will be directed to the indoor map. Or if you are not inside the building, you can actually hover down from the homepage and then look at this tile, the indoor map. So when you click this one, you will see all the list of the venues or locations where we have available indoor maps. So for this one, this is in Cebu. Have you been to Cebu? So for those who have been to Cebu, we have indoor maps in the two terminals of Bactan Cebu International Airport and then SM City Cebu and Seaside Cebu. And also on the indoor maps, you will be able to see the floor levels of each venue. No? And how do you actually use this feature? You just search for your destination inside the mall or the airport, and then just click navigate, and then the app will ask you to select your starting point or the point where you are located. And then when you click that, the app will show you the directions going to the destination. Okay, and also it gives you the option to use, if you want to use the elevator, escalators, or stairs. So it's your choice. You have choices here. And if along the way you see that a store is closed or a POI is missing or there's incorrect navigation, you can easily report this by clicking this one. Okay, so you could also help us update the indoor map. So currently we have indoor maps in NAIA Terminal 2 and 3 who are traveling from NAIA Terminal 3 here. So if you're lost at Terminal 3, you can use our indoor map there. And Terminal 2 also. And if you're traveling to Cebu, you can also use this at the two terminals of Cebu Airport. And then, are you familiar with Clark Airport in Pampanga? Maybe you should try there, one of the most beautiful airports here in the Philippines. So aside from airports, we also have maps for Rizal Park and QC Memorial Circle. Have you been to Rizal Park for all the foreigners here? If you're lost there, you can try this indoor map you also have there. And the QC Memorial Circle, just right there. I think one ride from this place going to QC Circle, we also have an indoor map there. Yeah. So to conclude, I'd like to show some a short video clip of our operators who actually... Do you know this person? This is one of the volunteers, Alfie, who forced me to do this lightning talk. So here's one of our promo materials that we published on our social media pages for our indoor map in Clark Airport.
Hey, vacation time! Wow. See, you're na. So, pwede rin yung indoor map?
Everything's easier at Clark Airport with Grab Indoor Map.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
All right. Thank you. So while our next presenter is getting ready, we actually have a question for you. you were ahead of your schedule. It's good. So, Vic, you want to answer a question? Probably not. Are you going to do it anyhow? Yeah? Okay. So, question coming in from Venulus. Are there plans for Grab to contribute the indoor maps to OSM?
Good morning. Thank you for that wonderful question. Of course, we are very much willing to contribute whatever we can to the community. So yeah, why not, right?
Sometimes it is a jerk. So you said you also have it on
more questions.
The drive? Yeah. You
have the drive. I'm loving it here. So ask away.
So I actually think we had a question for our previous presenter too. Wasn't the mapping also a project of US Peace Corps headed by Dr. Aaron Opdyke?
I'm not really sure if because when we go to the municipality, we ask for a lot of data and we haven't heard his name. So I apologize for that.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Yannick from the University of Stuttgart. I'm a researcher there working at the Institute for Road and Transport Science.
This one. Okay, that's better. Okay, thank you for joining this talk here at the State of the Map in Manila. My work is part of the Urban Act Research Project, which is funded by the International Climate Initiative, and I want to talk about some fundamental challenge that we have when we want to do urban planning. To build better, more sustainable cities, we often need data and we want transport models. But creating these transport models is typically a really intensive and slow process, and it's also expensive. The problem is that it requires a massive amount of data which is either often unavailable or outdated, especially in rapid growing cities in this area here. And so the data barrier is the thing that stops the good planning before it can even happen. But imagine if we could have a generic database for building the transport models for almost any city worldwide, to build it quickly, efficiently, and with open data that already exists. And this is exactly what my research focuses on. We've developed the methodology to do exactly that. The basis, of course, is OpenStreetMap. As we can see here, the OpenStreetMap is the basis, the backbone for a lot of my data. First, of course, the road network, which is the basic skeleton of every city. Then we partially also use it for administrative boundaries. And third, the most powerful data that I want to present now is the large amount of points of interest. All the shops, offices, and hospitals that we map are not just the dots on the map, they are the destinations where the people get attracted to. So these points tell us why the people move and where they want to move. Now, these are the points for the education facilities, these are government services. Here we can see health facilities, leisure culture points, and finally local retail points. But how would we turn this data into understanding the mobility of a city? We combine it with raster data of where the people live, because that is where the people start their trips, and with the POIs we know where they travel to. So we have the origin and the destination of the trips if we sort of facilitate it a bit and only look at home to a specific POI trip, which is basically already a lot of information that we get that way. Now, we create a heat map of all these different function areas that I've just shown you. Next, we overlay them, get the local maximum, and with a grid that we overlay, we select the specific points that are really the most important points to us. And these are then the local centers that we can use for planning. Here we can see, with the example of the city of Bacolod, a city in the Philippines, the places that we found out to be most important. We connect these places with the desired lines. Then we map these desired lines to the actual road network, which shows us what the current state of the road network looks like. So these red ones are the more important roads that people use when traveling from big cities, so important POIs to other important POIs. Then we've got with blue and green the less important roads. And we can get from the current state to an optimized state. So you see what the difference is. At first, the really important road went right through the inner city, but we can sort of suggest an improvement by letting the people travel around and not crowd the inner city any further. But this is not only possible for the road transport, it's also possible for walking. We can combine it with the population density and the POIs to get the hotspots for walking, so the most important areas where we should really focus and invest more into walking for creating pedestrian-friendly streets. We can see these red areas, which are the parts where the important points overlap with a high population density. And if we connect these points to have a more to have a better way to travel between them, we have a more eco-friendly travel in the city itself. So what we now get, we have sectoral networks for cars. We can then also do a similar approach for public transport, for bicycles, and for walking, as we just saw it. And so then we know which areas are important for which type of mode, and we see where we could sort of improve the current state of the network. So I wanted to leave with the thought that OpenStreetMap is more than just a map. It's a comprehensive data set that has the power to facilitate transport planning everywhere, making it easier, cheaper, and accessible for the cities that actually need it the most. And with every POI you map and every street that you classify and also street that you add, this improves to the methodology and to the results that I get. So thank you for listening to my talk. If somebody's more interested, I've got a lot more slides and also a tool that we're currently developing that does everything with a one-click solution where you can just choose which city you're interested in and the rest is processed in the background. I'm happy to discuss that with you. Thank you.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much, Yannick. While I set this up, we did have another question from Vic. Is Vic still here? Yeah, he is. He's not paying attention, but that's okay. So, hey, you got another question? Do you want to answer? Are you willing? Okay, so the question is, what would you say to other companies that use OSM data but are not sponsoring State of the Map? That's a hefty one. Do you want to answer or do you want to say no? Yeah, you could say no. You want to answer? All right. Thank you.
So if I were a company using OSM data and have yet to sponsor State of the Map, one thing that I could consider would be the not just the return of investment, but also community engagement. And there's also the possibility that they have yet to engage with the local community or with the OSM community in general. That is one. Those are some of the points for consideration as to why companies using OSM data have yet to sponsor events such as, but not limited to, State of the Map.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. So good. Hello. So good day. I'm Will from Sakai.ph. So if any one of you used the app and got lost, it's all totally my fault. So here we're about to discuss like one of the things that we do for Sakai, which is mapping public transport, specifically what is a stop. So for those who are not familiar, the baseline data that we use to gather public transport data is stop location, our topic for the day, operating hours and schedule. Like sometimes the routes do not operate on weekends. So for some who tried to use Sakai on a Friday and tried to ride it on Saturday might find it not there. So those happen, especially in UP, in the UP area. Many routes do not exist. They stop operating on weekends. Then for the per stop and per arrival departure schedule. For the Philippines, forget it. Because we do not have definite arrival times and departure times. The jeeps and buses arrive when they arrive and they depart when they depart. For the fare structure, so in the Philippines, we use distance-based fares, which is non-existent in GTFS. And even their fares V2, they don't implement it. And the other one is the road network connectivity. So we have to know that even if public transport networks operate on the roads, they are not the same. So for the public transport stop, here's a question. What is a public transport stop? Is it where the vehicles stop or where the people wait to board the public transport vehicle? Or they sound the same, aren't they the same? Actually, it kind of differs because each choice has their pros and cons. We can discuss later, but it might take a lot of time. For us, because we tell people where to go, so naturally, a stop, by our definition, is where people, passengers, wait to board the vehicle. So the downside there, however, is if you want to do a vehicle to compute vehicle operations, like if you're an operations manager for the public transport vehicle, this might be problematic, especially if the stop is in a corner of the street. So where does a vehicle actually stop? At the, when it's about to turn the corner or after it turns the corner? But for the passengers, they might be the same. As long as I wait at this corner, the vehicle will stop. So those tiny decisions that we have to make kind of matters when it comes to routing and other downstream effects. Here, about the road network connectivity. So even if the public transport vehicles are the road network, they are not the same. So in many cases, for a passenger, the moment you ride on a bus, it's magical. You enter at one place, when you exit, it goes out the other place. You don't know what happens in between. The bus can take a different route. It can take a detour. It can go over the skyway. It can go across the sea. And when you get out, it's there. And if you think about it, the way you transition from a road network to the public transport network are stops. So when you go to a stop, you board, you suddenly get teleported to the public transport network. When you alight, you get teleported back to the road network. So you get in and out of the OSM into GTFS back and forth using stops. So actually, in our case, many of our work in OSM is making sure that the road network, in particular the pedestrian networks, are routable. Many instances when people complain, hey, when I go to A to B, your app says no route found. And we find out because it gets locked to a pedestrian network that is not connected to anything. And therefore, it just gave up. So one of the common cases are footbridges. Sometimes when someone makes a footbridge, it does not connect back to the road network. And that causes our routing, like, okay, this footbridge connects to nowhere. Therefore, the person must go all the way around the street just to cross. I'll just give up. So no route found. Or especially if you're in a private park and there's like a tiny walking segment not connected to anything, that's also a problem. That's it. Thank you.
Nice, wonderful, excellent timing. So that is the conclusion of our lightning talk session.